God, our hope in ages past, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, we just pause, God, with our brothers and sisters who are mourning on this morning at the senseless loss and killing of 11 persons and injuring of 6 others and the wounding of police officers who were serving in the line of duty in light of a person who chose to go into a synagogue during a baby naming circumcision ceremony and senselessly and violently kill others. We pray for comfort for those families. We pray for guidance for those that are with those families at this time. And we just pray for our country that you would allow courage, moral courage to rise up in us, Lord, that we might speak against hatred and evil, and that we would continue to be messengers of good news and love of one another and peace and acceptance of each other in this world. And we offer this prayer in our Savior's name, Jesus the Christ. And let all God's people say together, amen. Amen. Well, it is my joy to be here with you on today. I came all the way from Clearwater, Florida, where I promise you it was 30 degrees hotter. I was really surprised to find out how cool it was here this morning. But again, it is my joy to be here with you on today to celebrate with your current pastor, Reverend Dr. Kevin James, and Reverend Waters in their pastor's appreciation celebration. Amen. I'm also very familiar with some of your most recent pastors, too. I know Scott Farman. I know Durwood Fauché, as well as Wayne Wyatt. So, again, this is just an amazing church that's been here for 40 years. And you are one of our more diverse churches in our annual conference. And so we celebrate that on today. We celebrate that on today. So, again, I've been invited to share, again, with my mentor and friend, Reverend Dr. Kevin James. I pastored a church in Jacksonville, Florida, for 12 years. And I remember inviting Reverend Kevin to come and preach at our church. And he just tore the house down. He stood up on the pews. And I said, well, can I stand on your pews today? I don't think I'm going to do that. But, again, I really am excited to share a real simple message with you today. And it's called Thumbs Up. All right, so it'll appear on the screen. Simple message today is called Thumbs Up. Digital technology has introduced us to and enabled us to integrate into our lives various degrees of social media. How many people use Facebook today? If you use Facebook, raise your hand. Facebookers. All right, what about Twitter? If you tweet on a regular basis, raise your hand. All right, nobody in the choir is tweeting? All right, one lady, very good. All right, well, how many people watch YouTube videos? Raise your hand. That should be a good number of people that watch YouTube videos. Okay, how many don't know what social media is? Just raise your hands. So we'll just, you know, still celebrate your presence in our message as well. All right, so here goes. So if you like something on Twitter, what do you do to like something on Twitter? Next slide. If you like something on Twitter, what do? You'll click a heart, and that'll show that you actually like something. What about if you like a video on YouTube? What do? You'll click the like button on YouTube, and you can also subscribe to that. What if you like a picture that's posted on Facebook? What do? What do you do? You click the like button, absolutely. And so, and that like button is the symbol of what? Thumbs up, right? All right, let me see everybody's thumbs up. All right, thumbs up. All right, thumbs up. Very good. All right. So thumbs up really has become this new sign in our society today when we affirm, when we show our agreement to something, when we offer gratitude, appreciation. It's a way to bookmark something. It's also a way to share or communicate a very positive word to someone just by showing a thumbs up. Or for this message today, when we put our thumbs up, we'll just shout out thumbs up. So try it with me. All right, so let me give you a couple of questions, and this is how you get to respond. Do you love your church? Very good. Do you have an appreciation today for the choir's music? All right. Do you like the person sitting next to you? All right. Some people didn't respond there, but I'm going to leave that up to you. All right, so we'll come back to this whole idea about thumbs up in our message. But thank you for the scriptures that were read early in our hearing today. In that scripture text, and we're going to look specifically at verses 14 and 15, and that appears on the screen. Verses 14 and 15 it comes from this particular scripture text. We find Paul sharing with the church in Rome, and he's explaining to the church how much first that God loves the church. And not only does God love the church, God wants the church to be reconciled. God wants the people of God. God not only loves the church, God loves the world. And in this scripture text, Paul is saying to the church, he's writing to the people in Rome, he's saying that God loves the world and God wants to see the world saved. God wants to see everyone come into a relationship with God through Christ. And he was specifically talking to the Jewish persons at that time, or he was talking to Israel, the people of Israel, and he was saying to them, you have a real zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge, because at that time, the Israelites were more focused on just trying to follow the law, and they thought that their righteousness, they thought that they could become in a right relationship with God through what they did, just by following the law. But that's not how righteousness was going to be established, because we're not good enough. We can't keep all the rules. We can't follow all the laws. And so God resolved or reconciled that problem for us by sending Jesus into the world. And he said, righteousness can be established not based on what you do, but it'll be based on what you believe. So then he goes on to say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you can be saved. And again, that was a hard message to believe, because they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of following the law and trying to follow the law. And then this new message comes about that says, you can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be free from sin. It's through your faith in God, through what God has done in Jesus the Christ. And then Paul goes on to ask these questions. He says, well, how then can they call on one whom they've not believed? I mean, how can they? I mean, that's an amazing message, but how can I believe that if I haven't heard it yet? Then he says, how can they believe on the one whom they've not heard? And then how can they hear unless somebody preaches it to them? I mean, this was good news that God did not want to be contained in a box. He didn't want it to only be known by certain people or certain types of people or certain socioeconomics of people. This was good news that God wanted spread widely. And Paul asked these questions. He says, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And then how can someone preach except they have been sent? As it is written, he's referring to a scripture text in Isaiah. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And when you think about that, how beautiful are the feet? And I thought about a picture of Pastor Kevin's feet. And I was like, that's not really going to work today. I almost text Linda, and I was like, that's not going to work. Because when you understand that scripture in context, it said how beautiful are the feet of those that share good news. It was because that word good news, it speaks of evangelism, evangelization, just this impetus that I have to tell this good news. This impetus that I have heard something and I've received a message that is too good. I cannot keep it to myself. So I have to proclaim it. And the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those that share good news. And the reason it talked about their feet was because at that particular time, people had to walk around and share the good news. I mean, and so they were walking around and telling people how good it was to follow Christ and how much God loved them and what forgiveness of sins meant and what it meant to be reconciled by God. How beautiful are the feet of those that share good news. But then when you think about hundreds of years later in the Methodist Church, Francis Asbury comes over to the United States and starts riding horses to share this good news. So they didn't just have to walk. Thank goodness. Amen, right? So they didn't just have to walk to share good news. So they started riding horses. And now it's planes, trains, and automobiles. And we're not even limited to those resources. Now people can share good news through social media, through digital technology, videos. But the whole point is that God calls people to share good news. There's an old saying that says some people God sent, some people just got up and went, okay? But for those that God called and they know that God's called them, there's just this urge and this urgency to share good news. They recognize that if people don't hear about God's love for them, if people don't hear about God's peace for them, if people don't hear about God's reconciliation for us, if blacks and whites don't get to hear how much God loves us both and how we can live in harmony together. I'm telling you, this service is a picture of the kingdom of God. Look around this room, church. This service today is a picture. This choir today looks like what the heavenly choir is going to look like. Thumbs up to you. Thumbs up. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. This church, Palm Coast, has been here for 40 years. I went back and read your history. I think Pastor Cheryl was the church planner that got the church started, and 40 years later. But when you think about it, over the last 40 years, the pastoral responsibilities surely have changed. Amen. Surely they've changed. Westpath gave a study, and so I think this next question on the slide, it says, why do we even appreciate our pastors? Amen. I mean, why are we having a whole service, you know, that just appreciates the pastor? I mean, nobody appreciated me on my job last week. Well, they gave me a paycheck, so I guess that was some appreciation. You know what I'm saying? But why do we have to appreciate a pastor? Here's some stats. Westpath, which is the General Board of Pensions in the United Methodist Church, they did a study in 2017. They interviewed about 4,000 pastors. And from those interviews, here's some of the stats that we have of United Methodist pastors. These are some of the positive stats. 52% believe that they're on track headed towards a good retirement. We have seen actually a doubling in the amount of physical activity that pastors are doing. Going from 2.5 hours a week now to about 4 hours a week, we're seeing pastors engage in physical activity. 78% report that they feel understood by their families and supported by their friends. But here's some of the negative impact, friends, on this work called pastoral ministry. 80% of pastors are currently obese and overweight. Now, we thank God that's not this pastor, amen. But I just still wanted to let you know the stats. 43% are obese, and a much higher percentage than those demographically matched in people in their same area. 7% of pastors today suffer from depression as measured by frequency of depressive symptoms. 13% of pastors today are currently being treated for depression, and they're working at managing their symptoms. 28% have at least some functional difficulty from depressive symptoms, and this is higher than the demographic of that same age group. 45% of pastors have experienced work-related stress. Here are some other statistics from a 2016 church study. 54% of pastors work over 60 hours a week. 57% of pastors can't pay their bills. 54% of pastors are overworked and 43% are overstressed. 53% of the pastors feel that seminary has not properly prepared them for the current church that they're trying to lead. 26% are overfatigued. 28% are spiritually undernourished. 9% are burnout. 18% actually work more than 70 hours a week. 12% are belittled often in the life of a church. 3% have had an affair. Not this pastor. But here's the thing. 90% still feel honored to be your pastor. 90% still feel honored that they can serve as your pastor. So we've come today to lift up and to celebrate a pastor that's been a wonderful son to his mother. One that's been a faithful husband to his wife, Linda, the wife of his youth for 33 years. An excellent father to 2 children, a new grandfather. He's a brother to the brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. He's a mentor to clergy like myself and clergy around. Kevin has served for 31 years in ordained ministry. Started out in Palatka, Emmanuel United Methodist Church in Palatka, Florida. Served there faithfully for 5 years. Then he went on to the Florida A&M University, where he served as a campus minister. Then he went from there to Bethune-Cookman University and served at Stuart Memorial. From there, he got promoted to serve as a district superintendent. And I actually now serve and lead in the district that he served in when he was a superintendent. And he, genuinely, his ministry still reverberates in that district today. We have reason to celebrate. He left there and went to the Palmacia United Methodist Church and served there for 7 years. Now he's serving at the Palm Coast United Methodist Church, and he's been here for 6 years and counting. Amen. As United Methodist clergy, and again, I'm serving as a superintendent now in the Gulf Central District, where I superintend 89 churches, 89 pastors, In our district, there are 23,000 people that worship in our 89 churches weekly. And so that's a lot to pass for pastors to have to manage and lead. Next slide helps us just as a reminder of ordained United Methodist clergy. They focus on, or we're ordained to four areas. We're ordained to word, sacrament, order, and service. So this is going to be a chance for you to participate in the service. I'm going to kind of call out some of the actions or some of the activities or some of the work that falls under these four work areas, and you're going to get to tell us whether or not Pastor Kevin gets a thumbs up, all right? All right, so under the area of word, some of the responsibilities on the area of word is to preach and teach the Bible. How does Pastor Kevin rate? All right, under the area of word, it also requires us to be faithful, not only in preaching and teaching, but faithful in our study. It also requires us to be faithful in our counsel of people. It requires us to visit and support people in their ministry. So how many people have been supported and visited by Pastor Kevin in his ministry here? All right, very good. In the area of sacrament, the area of sacrament requires us to baptize and to share in the Lord's Supper. How has Pastor Kevin and Pastor Teresa done in these areas? How do we give them? How do we rate them? All right, it's getting a little light there, Reverend. All right, what about services that help us to remember our baptism and remind us that we have been baptized and we can continue to grow in our relationship with Christ? How does Pastor Kevin do in the area of helping us remember our baptism? All right, very good. What about ordering the life of the church? How many celebrate the fact that Pastor Kevin goes to meetings at church? He said, doesn't go to many meetings. He didn't give himself a thumbs up for that one. Goes to meetings. Ordering the life of the church means that we come with vision, we come with guidance, we come with direction. We're here to help administrate the life of the church and help the church go forward. How do we rate Pastor Kevin as an administrator in the life of the church? Very good. And then service. Service requires us to be in mission and ministry into the world. Service means that we pay our apportionments at 100%. Service means that we don't just look at ourselves, but we focus on ministry outside of ourselves and really look at how can God lead us to go into the world. So how does Pastor Kevin lead us in service in this church? Thumbs up. Overall, so how do we celebrate Pastor Kevin as a pastor in this church? How do we rate him? Thumbs up. How do we rate Pastor Teresa? So that's what we're here today, church, to celebrate our pastors, and we thank God for them. Again, the scripture says, beautiful are the feet of those that share good news. Thumbs up, Pastor Kevin. Thumbs up, Pastor Teresa. Thumbs up, Palm Coast United Methodist Church. Amen. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, church. What a wonderful Pastor Appreciation Sunday this is. And thank you, Dr. Lewis, for that sermon. And we are so blessed to have our wonderful, beloved Pastor Kevin and Pastor Teresa. Before the choir sings, the next selection that we sing will feature our soloist, Renice King. Renice hails from Boston, and I told her she brought the cold weather with her. But you are in for a treat. And we are inviting, this is an invitation to invite you to our concert this evening at 4 featuring Renice King. It's free of charge and open to the public. Thank you.
Said praise, praise, praise. Somebody praise, praise Jesus. He's a blessed Savior. He's worthy to. Oh, is anybody here wanna praise? Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in praise Him when the sun goes down. Lift Him up and praise Him. He's a blessed Savior. He's worthy to be praised from the rising up until the going down. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to. Glory, church, in all things, yes, Jesus, He's the blessed Savior. Oh, oh, oh. He's the rock of salvation. Oh, He's a deliverer. All you gotta do is put your faith in Him and put your trust in Him. Praise glory in all things. Give God the glory. Jesus, He's worthy to.
Good morning, church. I am Dr. Phyllis Pearson, and it is my honor to join you this morning in our pastor appreciation celebration of our pastor, Dr. Kevin James, and Reverend Teresa Waters. My role this morning is to share with you some of my experiences and our reminder of some reflections of the teachings and learnings under the leadership of our sister Teresa Waters. She is absolutely the exemplary of work in action. A little background is Dr. Waters has spent really two careers before now. None of us would believe she's actually retired. However, she was in the collegiate area, an educator, professor, and administrator, always in leadership. It's her natural thing to do. She is always guiding and leading and setting the example. She leads in service to all mankind. She has set the example at the higher education level and leads all young people, including myself, to our cause and our purpose without ever missing a beat. She has served as an associate pastor and a senior pastor in many churches, including our very own Palm Coast United Methodist Church. And through her leadership, we continue to serve our community very, very actively. In addition to Sister Teresa Waters' service in leadership, she has served with one of the most prominent service organizations in the universe, and that is Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. She leads us as the president of your local chapter, Flagler chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, which is Chi Delta Omega, and we work very diligently to serve our young people, our seniors, and those in need. I will tell you that over the years, many decades as a matter of fact, she has served in chapter leadership, and we are honored to work with and for Sister Teresa Waters. And I want to say this. One of the things that we know about Teresa, if we're around her at all, Sister Teresa is about family. And when I say family, I don't really mean the name family. I mean the blood family of God, and the blood that flows through Jesus' veins flows through our veins. And the one thing that I'm going to finish with is that we treat each other with respect is important. We don't stab each other in the back. The person is facing the other way while they also face their troubles and triumphs, and we are supposed to be picking them up along the way in our service. Last but not least, she is a woman. It's something that Eleanor Roosevelt said. She does love tea. She's like a tea bag. You can't tell her how to be strong. We're always, each and every one of us and the youth are walking through the fire. But sometimes you need that burning sensation, somebody to push you and encourage you to make sure you are ready to serve your community and walk through the fires, respecting others as they are young and old and they're experiencing their troubles. It is our duty, according to her experiences, according to our leader, Sister Teresa Waters, to always serve from the heart. And last but not least, since my minutes are up, there is a place in God's Son, the S-U-N, where the youth are having their hopes and ideals, and the S-O-N, where they have their faith. And Sister Teresa lives in this each and every day and models it for us. The youth that are furthest down are the ones we're always reaching for. And this is to believe that they have a vision, and sometimes we have to put a little Windex on the window so they can see their vision clearly. The determination that they have is sometimes deep inside, broken into pieces, and it's our order, according to our leadership of Sister Teresa, to make sure we pick those pieces up. We are not looking for what it does for us. We are looking for what it does to strengthen our youth, to develop what we heard earlier from Dr. Candace, is to have the moral courage to ensure that they're working to be the betterment of the future for our society. And we thank and represent Sister Teresa Waters today. We appreciate you and we love you.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. So when I received the invitation to come and speak on behalf of Reverend Waters, I was like, oh, that's easy. I could brag about her all day. But then I heard the instructions, you get 2 minutes. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a little bit difficult. So I jotted some things down. So when I started thinking about Reverend Waters, my mom, the adjectives that came to mind were warm, caring, thoughtful, loving, dedicated, spiritually connected to our Lord. She has a servant's heart. I think most of us would agree with me on those adjectives. Of all the roles that she's had, she's been, and actually is, a teacher, a counselor, president, pastor, prayer partner, and the list goes on and on. But I'm most grateful for the role that God has blessed her with, and that's the role of mom. She's beautiful on the outside and inside. She just feels me, so bear with me. I am honored and proud to celebrate with you today You bring so much love and joy into my heart. She's actually my mother-in-law, to be honest with you guys, but truly she's my second mom, and I just thank God for her. So on behalf of Anthony, Felicia, Jeffrey, and myself, we celebrate you and we honor you today. We love you. God bless.
Good morning, Ma. Good morning, everyone. So when I received the call to speak about my mother this morning, I was told two instructions. One, that I had 2 minutes, like the young lady just said, and that I could not tell her. So I said, okay, cool, I can do this. That's not a problem. But there was one problem. I call my mother 2 to 3 times a day for every single thing. I call her on my husband. I call her on my kids. I call her on my daddy. I call her by my coworkers. I call her about cooking advice, and she does not cook. She does not know how to cook. So I call her for everything. And so for a week now, I've been keeping this secret from her, and it has been tough because I want advice on what to say about her from her. So it didn't quite work out as good as I thought it did. But I'm often find myself mesmerized by who my mother is and how amazing she is and how spiritually in touch she is. My mother lost her mother at a very young age, and so I never take it for granted that I have my mother here with me. I don't take it for granted that she is so knowledgeable, and I can always call her and turn to her and get advice from her. I can't tell you how amazing that is for her to not have had her mother for as long as I've had her, and I'm only 32. It's just amazing how much she knows and how much she loves me and cares for my children. So I just think she's an amazing woman. And when I think about her, the scripture, Proverbs 31:25, says that she speaks with wisdom and faith, instruction is on her tongue. And that is my mother, because God is in her life and God has a hold of her life, and he definitely does, because she lives with my dad. So it's pretty amazing what God can do if you just walk with him and hang in there, and she's a true testament to that. So Ma Bay, as my dad affectionately calls her, Lala, as my kids call her, Linda, Miss James, I speak for everyone here. We love you. We appreciate all that you do. We have a token of our love to show our appreciation for you. And I thank God for you this day, Mother's Day, your birthday, every day, because I know I'm fortunate. So thank you.
Good morning. Jim Tager, Superintendent, Flagler Schools. I want to share 5 words of appreciation for Pastor Kevin James. The first word that comes to my mind is trust. As superintendent of schools, I speak to 1,600 employees the very first day of work. And that's a lot of pressure, because most superintendents last 3 years, and I'm on year number 2. And so I thought, you have to trust somebody if you want to bring a guest speaker with you. So I invited Dr. Kevin James with me to speak. One of our topics was passion for graduation. I believe that we can graduate 100% of our students. So that was one of our topics. So I invited Pastor James, and he prepared for a long time for that speech. And I really appreciate that about him. And one of the things he did is he shared a personal story, and that's not always easy to do. He shared a story of his 5th and 6th grade teacher, which motivated him to graduate from high school, not to mention that he has a doctorate degree today. And then when he gave the speech in front of 1,600 Flagler School employees, he brought the teacher that motivated him out on stage too. A 90-year-old lady came out who was his 5th and 6th grade teacher. So I had asked Dr. James to speak about the impact of a significant adult. So he brought his teacher out, and that was his significant adult. And I'm here to tell you today that my mentor and significant adult is Dr. Kevin James. Word number 2, 3, and 4, faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." I have an attitude of gratitude to worship in God's church where the pastors consistently share a message of faith, hope, and love. Fifth word, you'll never guess what this word's going to be. Fifth word is humor. These two guys, they're shipwrecked, and they were on a deserted island, and they both had different personalities. The first one, he said, gosh, I have my wrong page. This is humor, right? Okay, so these two guys were shipwrecked, and the first guy, they had two distinct personalities. The first guy was very, very calm. It was like he was on Flagler Beach on a summer day. He's walking his dog along the beach. He's like, everything's going to be okay. We're shipwrecked. Nothing to worry about. The second guy, he was a panic mood. He's so upset. He goes, I'm panicking. We're going to be castaways. We have no food, no water. We're not going to make it. The calm guy, he's just smiling. He's still walking the dog, pretending he's on Flagler Beach. And he says, you know what? I make $100,000 a week. $400,000 a month is what I make. I mean, we're shipwrecked, but I make $400,000 a month. So do the mental math on that one, which really made the other guy more upset. He said, who cares what you make? And he said, he's like, we're going to die. I could care less what you make. And the calm and cool guy says, he said, listen, I tithe 10% of $400,000 a week, and I know my minister will find me.
I'm Awilda Hamilton, and honored to offer just a few words of appreciation about our pastor, Kevin M. James, Sr. He's many things to many people: husband, father, grandfather, son, brother, friend, but to all of us, a counselor and spiritual advisor. In addition to his many roles, he's also multifaceted: preacher of the word, preacher of the word and sports, dedicated Bethune-Cookman University alumna. Oh, did I say he loves sports? Even a crooner and a dancer, always practicing and perfecting his moves backstage before his onstage performances. His memory is phenomenal, Sunday after Sunday, delivering his messages without notes, accurately referencing biblical passages, chapter and verse. Who can ever forget when he called off all 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, and then 27 in the New? At times, he even added narration. Finally, it's hard to pay tribute to him without noting his sense of humor. He's right. We get his jokes on the way home. He's truly a biblical scholar, teacher, and leader who stands head and shoulders above so many others. As we express our gratitude, we know the highest appreciation for you and what you represent are not the words we utter, but to practice and live by the wisdom of your messages. Please join me by saying in unison, thank you, Pastor Kevin.
We have a special guest that's not in the bulletin, but one that I know that Pastor Kevin would like to hear from, one that we'd all like to hear from. And he's our own interim president of Bethune-Cookman. He's a judge, and Kevin is an alumni of Bethune-Cookman. So, Judge, if you would join us up front.
Good morning. I also get a chance to stand at the desk of the pastor. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you. In fact, of course, I bring you greetings on behalf of Kevin's University. It's also known as Bethune-Cookman. But those of you that know him know his love for his alma mater. He served there not only as chaplain, but he's also a former trustee of our university. And Kevin, you'd have been very happy on yesterday, because I got back last night along with the football team. I guess we got back in town maybe about 12-ish, 12:30. We went to Nebraska. And the people in Nebraska not only know Bethune-Cookman, but I think they know a little something about Kevin James, too. Why do I say that? Because through his leadership, through his encouragement, we've been able to negotiate a pretty decent check coming back home. We didn't get beat too bad either. Not too bad. And we came out healthy. Why do I say all those things? Because no matter what scene that you may find yourself, no matter what situation or circumstance, if it's in the hospital, if it's a need for counseling, if it's a need for prayer, Kevin James. Even so much so that there are people in Hollywood who have also named their children after him. Kevin is a very special young man. I count it an honor not only to call him a friend, to call him a fraternity brother, but to also call him, in the name of what Jesus would say, the one who knows the word, the one who lives the word, and we can always count on him. So congratulations. Thank you for the opportunity just to say a few words about you. I could go on and on, because you know I'm both a preacher and a lawyer. So I could go on and on. But we will stick to the amount of time given and just say thank God for Pastor Kevin James. Thank you.
Good morning. So earlier this week, I'm in my kitchen trying to make dinner, and the phone rings. There's a gentleman on the phone who's asking me. He lives far, far away from here, but he's interested in participating in Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. So I told him, well, it's all done. It's too late. He said, he pleaded. He begged me. So I decided, okay, he is a friend of many people in the congregation, and a very, very good friend of Pastor Kevin. So, without further ado, take a look at this video he sent me.
Greetings, this is Earl Hankerson, the brother of the Reverend Dr. Kevin M. James Sr., coming to you live from our beautiful state capital, Tallahassee, Florida. As you can see, I'm in the middle of one of my workouts, just keeping this handsome face and toned body for all of the world to see. I decided in the middle of my workout, there's no better time than to show some appreciation to my brother, your pastor, on this Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I can tell you from the time that I've known my brother that I can recall, he has been a great role model and one of the greatest men that I've ever known. He has taught me the meaning of hard work, dedication, and given me my competitive nature. Pastor James has been a pillar of our community. I know that he is proud to be your pastor, and he loves you as much as he loves his family and our God, Jesus Christ. On this Pastor Appreciation Sunday, we'd like to say thank you, Pastor James. And remember, I talked about that competitive nature. For the past 7 years, I have had to endure much pain and tragedy in my life at your hands and those of the Bethune-Cookman Wildcats. But I'm telling you right now, November is near. Your time is done, sir. And if we lose the Florida Classic, I will walk home from Orlando, Florida. Now, do I look worried? No, I'm not. Go Rattlers.
Good morning, church family. I was just told by the time master that I could take a couple extra seconds, so I might just do that. First off, I want to thank everyone here for attending, coming out, and showing our love for Pastor Kevin, for Reverend Teresa, and I will say I love Reverend Teresa, despite the fact that she is a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I'm a Redskins fan. Hail to the Redskins. Getting back on topic, we want to thank Dr. Lewis for an absolutely fantastic and very eye-opening message. We want to thank Reverend Rich Gray, even though he's not here. Well, there you are. You were on the program. I'm sorry. And also Reverend Leon Mitchell. We want to thank our lay minister, Beverly, all of our music team for a wonderful service. And also want to give some thanks to our staff, Lynn Heim in the office, Pat Wilkie, and also want to give a special blessing to Reverend Ruth. We love her as well. She has a wonderful son, and God truly picked him to deliver the word of God. And we love him. And I've told him once, and I'll say it again, if he has to leave this parish, so do I. Thank you.
Good morning. It is still morning, right? Well, they gave me 15 minutes. Everybody else... No, I'll keep this very short. I just wanted to wrap up comments a little bit. Kevin has been extremely special to me as an individual. He has been there through death of a family member. He's been there through losing a son. He's been there through getting married to this wonderful woman.
He married us.
So he's a very special person to me. But in addition to that, he's very special to this church. And I think everybody feels the same. He is definitely thumbs up. And then what I've noticed too is in churches I've been at, and I've spent years and years in California as well as Michigan, North Carolina, and in many of the churches I've been at, we never really entered the community, not the way God intended us to. But this man does. He does it through football Sunday. He does it through, last night, 1,500 families were impacted, and we had a chance to show our love and care for each person, which was unbelievable. So I just think, Kevin, for being more than just our pastor. He is much more. He's my main man. He's a great guy. And then I want to thank the committee that's kind of put this whole thing together this time. And they've worked long hours, and it's been kind of neat to work with each one. In fact, it was real neat last night having to set up after feeding the homeless. We had to, and giving out candy for 3 hours, and then we ended up setting up. So I'm going to make sure everybody here has a chance to come over to the fellowship hall afterwards and join us. So thank you for letting me make these comments. Reverend Teresa is a neighbor, a friend, and she teaches Bible study within a block from me. So we are reaching outside the four walls here. So thank you very much.
All right. You all enjoyed the morning? It's wonderful. Yes, absolutely. Oh, Pastor Kevin, he's not on the program. Absolutely.
Oh, man. He said I was talking and not listening, so I apologize for that. But truly, I want to first of all thank God for choosing me to be a messenger for his kingdom here on earth. I want to thank Palm Coast United Methodist Church members for choosing me as your congregational care pastor. I want to thank my daughter-in-law, Althea, for marrying my son, Jeffrey Dove. And I want to say to her, I pray for you daily. Thank you. And then I want to thank Dr. Pearson and all of my Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority sisters. Thank you for coming, for your support. And I want to thank Pastor Kevin for being the person that he is. Very gentle, understanding, and kind person. I truly enjoy working with you. Thank you.
Good morning. To my daughter, my beautiful daughter, Brittany James, I want to thank you for those wonderful words of appreciation and love. To the Palm Coast United Methodist Church, my family and my friends, I want to thank you for the love and appreciation that you show us, not just today, but every day. And I want to say I too appreciate Reverend Waters and Pastor James, because I get to see firsthand what it's like to be a pastor. And I pray that the same love that you give to us, that we're able to return to you.
Amen. To God be the glory. Since I have 2 minutes, I'm going to go very quickly. Far as a wife is concerned, I'm the richest man upon the land, like Job. Amen. Thank you, Linda. Let me say I am truly blessed to have my mother here, and she's going to get a benediction after the band concludes with celebration from Cooling the Game. I just want to say that God has been good to me, and thank God for all of our church members and friends. Let me ask the church staff to stand very quickly. It's the people behind the scene who makes the difference. They're probably at the fellowship hall, right? Oh, there are some of them over there. All right. Yeah, let's give them a hand. And to our committee, I see Mr. Wade there who chaired the committee, and you've heard Marv and Jan as they shared as well. And to all of those who shared words of expressions, let me say in the words of that great theologian, Gomer Pyle, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, let me conclude by truly saying we have been blessed with great musical talent here at this church, and I invite you back to the concert. And I also want to thank my daughter, Brittany. She took a jab at me. You heard her. But I'm so thankful. She also refers to me as a male chauvinist. I'm so happy that a few years ago, I married her to the vice president, her husband. Amen. 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 You have to know how to pick them. Let me also share a word as it relates to our son, Kevin, who is contemplating marriage. And I had that daddy talk with him concerning marriage, to honor God, to remember the pattern that was set before him, and also to take care — he doesn't have any children now that I know of — but to take care and prepare yourself for your future children. Everything you should do as a husband and a man should be for those who come behind you. He asked me concerning the institution of marriage. I told him the institution of marriage is very good if you don't mind being institutionalized. Amen. Amen. Some of you will get that on the way home. Let me also say a word to my good friend and colleague, Reverend Dr. Candace Lewis. Didn't she preach a thumb-up message? Amen. I'm so proud of her and can say this without any apology, and it will happen in God's own timing. She's on the fast track to be a bishop in the United Methodist Church. All you have to do is just remember the words that Marva shared concerning her life and legacy. Let me encourage you, mentor other people, make a difference in others, deposit something good in them. I had the privilege several decades ago to just share just a little bit of my life and ministry with her, but she has given me more back, twofold. For when I got ready to write my book, immediately the first person that I called was Candace Lewis. And I want to say, when it was time for me to connect with the general secretary, and she's been here before, Dr. Harold Parks, and we have a grant that came from her agency, but the person who was behind all of that is the person who preached this morning. She makes a difference in the lives of others. Let's give her another hand. And you heard her in the introduction when she said that I preached at a church several decades ago, and I was able to walk on the pews. I was talking about church balance and life balance and preaching while I was doing it. Well, now I would need to help of several men to get me on the pew and help me get me down. So I don't preach that sermon anymore. But let me close by sharing a final word concerning those you see here from the greatest fraternity in the world. My Alpha brothers, I want them to stand. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you, and some in the choir as well. Thank you, may be seated. I want our president to stand because I want to say this publicly to the church. A couple weeks ago, our church bus broke down several blocks away from the school. Lo and behold, I just so happened to be going that way, and I was under the speed limit, praise God, in a school zone. And so I turned around, and before I knew it, guess who was there walking our students from our church to the classrooms, taking care of them, calming down kids who were crying on the bus? The principal of Belterre Elementary School. Thank you, Dr. Cover. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you. May God bless you and keep you. Keep praying for me, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let us.